Darren Patrick is the lead pastor at the Journey Church in St. Louis that you planted in 2002. So that's coming up on 10 years. Mm-hmm. Got a celebration planned next year?
Absolutely.
All right, good. He's here for this little interview because he's going to be a part of the Desiring God Conference for Pastors in January 2012, which is focused on God, manhood, and ministry. Building men for the body of Christ. And let me tell you a little bit about my pilgrimage and what excites me about this moment of history that we're in and this conference. When I was teaching at Bethel College 35 years ago, this issue of egalitarianism, the word complementarianism didn't exist in those days. That was created by the movement. But what they would call it traditional or hierarchical, you know, trying to put the negative spin on the alternative. And egalitarian is freeing and affirming. And I just looked at my Bible and I thought, I just don't think that's what it says. And it isn't what I grew up with. It didn't feel whole, didn't feel healthy. It felt stilted. It felt trendy, and so I took different opinions, and Wayne Grudem and I were teaching together in those days, and we were working this through, and we had egalitarian speakers who would come, and they would say, "You guys are obscene." That was the language. I mean, it was really, if I went to speak at a seminary and women students were there, they would just be spitting mad at me because I would call their calling to ministry into question. And my typical response was, I'm not calling your calling to ministry into question. The Bible is questioning whether your call to ministry is being interpreted by you correctly as to whether it should be this or whether you should be leading men or not. So I thought in those days we didn't win that battle. The tide was just so huge that that view would be swept away. And here we are now, 35 years later, where complementarianism that affirms that men and women are different by God's design, not only in their plumbing and the disposition of whether they have hair on their faces or not, which are such minor things when it comes to personhood, but at their being, manhood and womanhood are different and complementary in their callings and in their nature, and that men are called to lead and protect and provide in the home and in the church, and women are called to joyfully and creatively and articulately support that and help that, embrace that, so that there's this beautiful choreography in the marriage and in the church where both are thriving. And lo and behold, today, there's people like you, which I never dreamed. I mean, here's a younger man who is growing by God's grace and the word a church, and would identify himself as a complementarian. And the whole movement of Acts 29, church planters, I remember the first time I met Mark Driscoll, I said, "So what's this about?" He said, "Three things." You know, he's got everything down in pieces. He said, Reformed theology, male eldership, church planting. That's what we're about. And I was like, "You're kidding me. Male eldership is part of this?" And so I look around the scene today, and for whatever reason, God has been pleased not to let that vision go away. I think the young, restless, reform, complementarian type folks are a little teeny tribe in the world, but I don't know what God might be pleased to do to recover something that's beautiful. So my question is, your story. I mean, were you always somebody who, let me get this thing. I didn't plan this very well. So here's this man. I got man on the front of your book here. And the subtitle, The Man, The Message, and The Mission. And the very first thing we read when you get in here is, why focus on men. So obviously, this seems like a big deal to you. How did that happen?
I think it really goes back to how I grew up. I grew up without a dad, two older sisters. So I had three moms, functionally. And they were great, they were nurturing. But as soon as I got larger than my mom physically, I basically did whatever I wanted to do. And this was like high school years. And so I was out three, four nights a week. Very much a guy who used women for sex and was demeaning and just really deplorable behavior towards women. And so I become a Christian, and God, I mean, a dramatic conversion my junior year of high school. And one of the first things that happened to me, one of my first Holy Spirit convictions was, you may not treat my daughters that way. I mean, it was as clear as anything. And I actually met my wife in high school right after that. We didn't get married for a few years, but so really my heart was changed toward how I viewed women. And get into seminary and start reading about church planting and church growth. And I remember thinking, you know, I don't know really where I'm at on this issue. I became a Christian in a very conservative church that was a complementarian church, but not with a lot of explanation. I was just kind of, we do it this way, and this is the way it is. Not a lot of thought, not a lot of Bible. And so in seminary, I was converted to being an egalitarian. And I wrote a paper, actually, that my professor told me I should consider publishing with regard to church planting, that if we did not become egalitarians, we were not going to prevail as a church in this culture, that we have to go there. And so, funny thing, though, as I was writing the paper, doing the research, I read yours and Grudem's book. And I was confronted with the scripture, and I began to see as I was writing this. But now I had to finish the paper, so I went ahead and turned the paper as an egalitarian. But in the process of researching, I became a complementarian, a thoroughly to the bone complementarian, and that really has set the kind of the pattern for my ministry.
So it matters in the way you do ministry, matters in the way you plant a church, practically why?
If we're not able to challenge young men to take responsibility for things that aren't their fault necessarily, to sacrifice for another, to really all the things that Ephesians 5 tells us that a husband should do for his wife, if we don't have a basis from Scripture to challenge that, what men do is they prolong their adolescence and they fail to grow up. And you don't have to be a researcher to see what's happening with young men. And so most church plants reach young people. It's just kind of a young person's deal. I mean, older people, it's rare to see a lot of young people. And so how are we going to train these folks? How are we going to give a vision for what family is? How are we going to give a vision for how the church is to be, governed? I think it starts with this issue. And it really is, I think, this doctrine is God's beautiful way of calling men to be the men that he desires. And as men go, so goes society, specifically young men.
We're going to reflect extensively on these things at the Desiring God Conference for Pastors in January. If your pastor could benefit from reflecting about these things, we would just encourage you to help him get there. It'd be our pleasure to worship with him, study with him, pray with him. I'm looking forward to it.